Hey friends, welcome to another episode of The Wholehearted Leader. I am your host and guide, Lance Howard. Today I have a live coaching conversation that I did with Pastor Les. Les is in his last lap of his full-time career as an occupational minister. He has been serving the local church as a pastor, minister, and preacher for 4 decades. His question was, how do I transition into another season of life and do executive coaching? You see, after my own personal journey of 2 decades worth of pastoral local church work, I get asked this question all the time. How can I become a coach? In the future, I'm going to be offering specific coach training to service-based providers, pastors, and nonprofit leaders looking to grow as a coach and build their own coaching practice. But today's coaching conversation, I want to turn your attention specifically to this idea of identity and how pastors wrestle with their identity as it relates to getting up each week and having to deliver a message. You see, we can try as hard as we might not to say that we're not attached to our identity in this place of performance. But the reality is that we get validation and affirmation and applause when we get on the stage. This can be healthy and unhealthy. The truth is that Ephesians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, I wish I could say, after 2 decades of doing pastoral local church work, that I come to realize that it was only through my faith in Jesus, in the work of Jesus, that saved me. Now, at a head knowledge, I knew this, but at a heart knowledge, it was really hard for me to understand and comprehend, because it's this weird identity of serving people to draw them closer to God, but ultimately, sometimes you don't even feel like you're receiving that same level of grace yourself. We end up in today's conversation talking about self-protection, being worthy, overcoming fears to have confidence, shifting the pressure from this, how do I be present when I get up to perform, to just be good enough to receive the grace for yourself and walk in that freedom. Now, I hope you'll tune into the entire coaching conversation. It's not a traditional episode with a thought leader and author on, but I believe that if you tune in and listen to your story inside of this story, you can receive something for yourself today as well. If you would like to receive coaching, to get coached, or to be featured on one of these conversations, I would be honored to host you. You can find that simply on my website, lancehoward.com, under the contact, submit a submission, and I will get back in contact with you very soon. Now, without further ado, here is my coaching conversation with Les. Dove in a little bit about, one, your desire and current avocation of you know, transitioning possibly and becoming a coach, and using this time and space to talk about, like, what does it look like to make this a second, third, fourth career. But what would be most useful for you by the end of our conversation today?
Probably to have a clear idea of what it might mean for me individually, to maybe do some. I'm interested in exploring the idea of executive coaching. Apparently I'm going to be tested on it.
Okay.
I just want to figure out the best way to put my abilities and, you know, training and talents to use to serve others, to help people. You know, I don't want to have the coaching business where I'm wore out from coaching every week. I just, you know, I want to be able to help people.
Sure. What you said earlier, you're taking an exam soon, roughly next few weeks, end of this month. Let's just fast forward for a moment. Say in 3 years,
Okay.
what do you want to say about this particular conversation as you look back 3 years from now? Like, man, I'm so glad we had that conversation. And here is the story of what's been happening.
I would like to say that this session helped me with my own self-confidence and encouragement to take some steps that may not feel quite as natural as I'd like for them to be. Is that too broad?
No. So what else? Keep going.
I'd like to know that I got set on a path of finding the best way for me to serve people, not just in the church, but outside my calling as a minister.
What do you mean by confidence, Les?
I often doubt myself. I'm prone, although I've gotten better at it, I'm prone to pepper conversations with, did that make sense to you? Which I think speaks less to their ability, but more to my self-doubt at times.
So it's not so much taking the exam and becoming a coach in as much as it is believing that you have the capacity in yourself to do this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, the test in some ways terrifies me, but it's just a test at the end of the day. And if I don't do good, I can take it again. You know, in fact, sometimes taking a test like that for the first time is kind of part of the process of learning what you need to know in order to do well. I won't be traumatized. You know, if I don't do well, I'm not getting, you know, my paycheck isn't dependent on it or anything like that. So, I mean, obviously I want to do well, but
Well, I just want to honor you for even acknowledging and taking a risk in this space to say out loud that there's a gap in this perceived confidence. What does that bring forth in you when you kind of even mention that, and when I hear it echo it back to you?
you know, there's when you talk about a lack of confidence, you know, there's this musical backdrop that's playing, you know, that are you good enough? You know, are you, you know, do you have the expertise you need? You know, can you connect with people? I find it easy in some ways to connect with people through ministry. But I'm also an introvert who has to force myself to be, you know, extroverted. I'd rather sit at my desk and write and study than, you know, than engage sometimes. But that's just part of who I am.
How is this new desire to become a coach in your late third of life, per se? How is this a reflection back or a mirror back of actually something that you're trying to grow in yourself?
There have been times when I flirted over the years with going back to school to be a counselor. But I think in some ways I lacked the requisite empathy that I needed. I'd be the one that says that's the dumbest thing I ever heard, get a life type of person. But coaching allows me to, while I'm not a counselor and I can't be a counselor and I'm not going to be a counselor, it allows me to tap into who I am at my core of a helper and a supporter and an encourager.
What
I don't
else?
know. I don't know that there's anything else. I just have always wanted to, I like helping people and serving in some way.
You mentioned, I guess, before I actually hit record, that this is not going to necessarily. Doesn't have to be a full-time career, right? At least right now. What do you want it to be?
Well, from a people perspective, I want it to be an avenue to help folks that already go to our church, and as a way to help people outside of our church in the community. If I'm completely above board with myself, I like the idea of having a little more financial stability or security, knowing there's something else I could do if everything else fell apart. But basically it's just a way to, again, a way to engage with people and help people and however they need encouragement or somebody to listen and maybe push where needed, or direct help them find direction. I understand that as a coach, it's not so much that I provide answers, but I help them find the answers, within themselves, which is in fact a difficult thing for me, because in all of my classes, most of my classes, I was the only male. And they were all ladies. And it was very hard for me in all the practice coaching not to lean into my natural male persona of a fixer, say, well, this is dumb, do this and it'll all go away, so that is a struggle for me and one I'll have to work on throughout that coaching career if I ever have much more of one than I have now.
Let's frame the conversation so we're moving towards a goal for our time together. What are you sensing right now is would be the most useful for our time?
Maybe working on confidence and trusting the process of how I've been trained, and learning to better lean into my own strengths while being aware of my weaknesses at the same time.
Let's start there. What does it mean to practice confidence? What does that mean?
Practicing confidence. When you use the word practice, It lends to me, it lends toward the idea of maybe not so much that I am confident, but I have learned to speak in more confident terms, and to maybe have a more confident demeanor, less hesitation, and more ability to sound, to sound sh more sure of myself. I don't know if that's the old adage or the old phrase, fake it till you make it, but when you use the word practice, that's what I'm thinking about, is developing the habits of sounding and appearing and acting confident to the point that they become, my nature. It become who I am. And
But
be completely forthcoming, that's probably something I've struggled with, off and on, for my entire ministry life, because I know you know as well as I do that when you preach any given Sunday, you preach, you're getting judged in some form or fashion. You're getting graded whether they ever give it to you or not.
100%. Well, let's take these two words for a moment and go down deeper if it'd be helpful. What are other ways in which practice and or practicing confidence begins to matter as you develop this coaching skill?
Matter as in.
Well, so if you're gonna so the Masters was this weekend, right? If you're going to win the Masters like Scottie Scheffler, like there's a certain level of practicing that he has put in, right?
Right.
So naturally, a decade ago, like his confidence level was probably not the same as what it was yesterday, being so calm and poised on the 18th green, right? So in the same way, I think we, in any domain of life, we can often compare ourselves up against whatever our perception is of, hey, in 3 years I'm gonna be there. And so we fall short because we judge ourselves against something that we see in 3 years from now versus like saying, okay, like what does it realistically mean for me to actually practice confidence? If this is where I want to be in 3 years, so how do I begin to back up to today and saying like, oh, this is what it looks like and means for me to actually practice confidence, or this is what it looks like and means for me to put the skills of coach into practice.
I don't know if this is the direction you're thinking, but the value I see, or where it matters, is if a client's going to take you serious, they're going to have to perceive you as being confident. So if in my coaching I sound very uncertain or unsure or hesitant or somehow less than what the coaching client wants, then it would lead to a lack of confidence on their part. And probably with their lack of confidence in me, then they would be less inclined to actually hear what I'm saying or grasp where I'm going, because their focus would be on, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or he doesn't think he does one,
What else begins to surface?
And I forget the term for it. There's a psychological term or a cultural term. Basically talks about feeling like a fraud, having confidence and practicing confidence mat would matter to me, because it would go a long way to I mean, it's a double-edged sword. If I feel confident, then I am going to be confident, and it would go a long way to not feeling like, I shouldn't be doing this, or, how did I get here? Why are they listening to me?
There's a book called The Confident Mind, and I can't remember the name of the author in this moment. And I can't even remember this acronym that I'm going to mention. It's called ESP. But the essence of a confident mind, or somebody like Scottie Schaefer, who displays what our perception of like this larger than life sense of like, oh man, they're confident, right? Happens in as much as what they remember other confident times in their life. Like, right, they have this circuit memory of like repeating in their head, like, oh, I hit a great shot then, I hit a great shot then, like, right. And so they build up this muscle memory of like, I'm not a confident person, but I've stringed together all these confident decisions over the course of a decade, and so therefore I'm now a confident X. All that to say and ask, how long have you been at this preaching game of yours?
I started preaching at an all-black church when I was 15.
Okay.
And preached through high school, went to college. My now wife broke my heart. I joined the Navy, was out of preaching for 6 years, and then got back into ministry and preached from the time I was 30 till I was right before I turned 50. That was when my wife. First wife and son were murdered, and I got out of ministry for a couple years, just couldn't do it. And then I've been back in it 10 years.
15 years old.
Yep.
So that would, I mean, we're getting close to 50 years. How confident were you less at 15 to get up and preach?
Not, I must have been more confident than I realized, because that's a big deal.
Sure.
So
How would you say you have grown in confidence since you were 15?
I am rarely ever nervous before I get up to preach. Now, I may have some question about the material. Is this really going to work? But I don't get up there and haul around, worry. By the time I get up, it's, this, it is what it is. And I would say I'm pretty confident at that point. But like, I'm speaking at a Herald of Truth retreat next week up in Tennessee. And it's a little bit of an awkward situation for me. They want me to speak about my experiences, with my wife and son. And I've kind of moved beyond wanting to talk about that. And I'll probably be a little bit uptight because of the nature of the topic, but so I don't know. One of the things I've done over the years to be confident is I typically some you might call it a manuscript sermon, but I do it. I write the whole thing out, but it's broken up into bullet points and where I can easily find my way if I lose myself. And that has helped. I don't worry about it, about what I might say, because I've planned what I want to say.
What are the distinctions that you could begin to make of your preaching journey, and how do those distinctions matter now into what is becoming your coaching journey?
preparation, you know, is kind of key for me. I with the few clients that I've had, it's been helpful to me to know, you know, just broadly in advance what it is we might be talking about. That helps me be a little more prepared and less thinking on the fly. Although I'll still be thinking on the fly because you can't help but do that in coaching. But at least you know you have a general idea of direction. And sometimes I don't get that with the first session, but I know where we're going in a second session, which means my confidence level is probably higher than I realize because of that. Now you're making me wonder, well, you're not making me, but now I'm beginning to wonder if this lack of confidence is more a not an affectation, but if I've just told myself that as a way of protecting myself from mistakes. And that may not make sense to you, but it's making a lot of sense to me. That maybe I've just allowed myself to think I wasn't confident. Gonna have to play with that a little bit.
Well, let's play with it.
Yeah.
What's happening inside of you right now?
Honestly, that I'm wondering if I've sold myself short a lot over the years, at least to myself, whether anybody else sees it or not. Or that I've wasted time worrying about being confident when that didn't need to be something I should have dealt with or worried about.
And what other ways have you learned to, I think in your words, self-protect?
Oh, in ministry, I have been many times way too defensive. I've had to learn how not to be so defensive. Ministry is a tough nut. Hard thing sometimes. A few years ago, my eldership, my leadership here, wanted me to do some trauma counseling as a result of, you know, our family trauma, because I was definitely dealing with some anxiety. And it was really funny. At the end of it, the therapist counselor said that I had handled my family trauma well, but that I most assuredly had PTSD, but most of it stemmed from dealing with church leaderships over the years. You may relate, I don't know.
I probably could share a few stories.
I bet. Can't we all? And of course, COVID did a number on everybody, so.
Know, self-protection is an amazing thing. What fears begin to surface as you even hear the word self-protection?
You know, stress or pressure on my family, financial worries, that sort of thing. Not having a target on my back. Unfair expectations. Or unfounded expectations. unrealistic, whatever word. I think they all fit.
So to varying degrees, I could be off, so correct me if I'm wrong. The fear is when you become a coach that you're going to have to self-protect to some degree so you don't get judged by the coach E that you're partnering with.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. Yeah, that yeah, to some degree at least.
Right. And therefore, what do you feel like you're trying to armor up against when you think about becoming a coach?
I don't know. I don't know that I have solidified that yet. Maybe messing up and doing more harm than good. Believe it or not, I had a coaching client who wanted me to help her take the steps she needed to take to get a divorce and to protect herself financially and emotionally and physically from a bad situation. And that was really hard because it clashed a little bit with, you know, with as ministers, we're often tasked with trying to help people save their marriages. And this one was, you know, there was nothing, from what I could tell, there was nothing to save except a graceful, safe exit. That was a difficult time, but it worked well. She's seemed to be very happy.
Let me just do a pause and check in on kind of the horizon where we're at in relationship to this conversation, and how do you really want to use the last quarter of our time?
Okay. Maybe to prepare for the future when I have passed my BCC, maybe some coaching at that point on how to build a business or make a business or directions to go in, how to get out there. What is your coaching primarily in? You're doing mostly executive, aren't you?
Yes, executive, business owners, entrepreneurs, the decision makers.
Yeah. And I think most of my training, it seems to be more in line with helping people deal with personal, you know, challenges and goals, jobs, you know, where do I want to go?
I think there's a few different ways we could, you know, we could approach the last little bit of this. Is one, we can just bounce back and forth, or two, you know, I could share per se of how I've learned to practice confidence per se, right?
Okay.
Because I think there's a tricky space between what you and I, you know, I've done 2 decades of vocational ministry and transitioned into full-time coaching. And there's an interesting place when you move from a platform that it is about the performance, right? As much as we want to spiritualize it and make it about God and make it about all these people we're serving, the reality is going back to what you said earlier, is like in our best attempts to honor God and honor other people, we know that we're still being judged, right?
And we better entertain them while we do it.
Right. Have a good joke, have a good whatever. Like, right, we get into this perfection mentality that is so not helpful. And so for me, I've really tried to adapt. I don't know if I said it, I've said it at all today, but I've tried to adapt this space with clients and like, hey, we're just in one big sandbox today. We're just playing and having a structured conversation that hopefully moves you down the court just a little bit more, right?
I like that.
So I think it's one of these places that I've learned, and I could be wrong again, that my confidence has grown when I've taken the pressure off of me. And I have really tried to empty myself and to serve my client's agenda for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? When we're done here in a few moments, I don't have to go and make whatever decision that you have to make.
Yeah, this is resonating because I think that in my mind, it's been ingrained that performance mentality. And I think I've tried to bring that over into coaching, and that's not helpful for me or anybody else. That's what I'm hearing you say, and that's what I'm picking up on for me.
Yeah. When I've made coaching about me, both in marketing and both in like the real-time conversation, there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of perfection, a lot of performance I put on myself. But when I make this posture about like serving you, your best interests, and trying to maintain emotional regulation and being well-defined as a person, like, oh, this is a much more spacious and fun place to play with somebody. And then therefore my confidence isn't tied to a result. My confidence really becomes about like, who am I becoming actually outside of these coaching sessions? Because that's what matters when I actually show up in a coaching session.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Absolutely, my pleasure. What are you hearing or learning even just in these few moments?
That goes back to confidence. It goes back to the pressure I put on myself. I readily see, easily see how I've taken my preaching and brought that need to perform at a, you know, top of the game, knock it out of the ballpark every Sunday mentality in the coaching, which most likely puts more stress on me and doesn't allow me to be in the moment as much as I could. Doesn't allow me to play in the sandbox. Because I'm outside the sandbox building, you know, building boxes for people to get into, probably. I don't know if that analogy works, but.
What would that mean for you, Les, to begin to pay attention to yourself in such a way that you're living life in the moment?
It would mean to quit looking ahead for what the results are going to be, or trying to pre-plan what the results are going to be, or to even stack the deck to make the results be what I think they ought to be. Yeah. You may not want to use this recording, but this has been great for me.
Good. What I've noticed several times, your eyes and just this sense of like awareness. I've felt it at least three times today. Like, can you try to share what's been happening?
like the ding ding ding
Yeah.
going off in my head.
Yeah.
Oh wow. But yeah. Yep. And this last little bit has really it's put the it's the capstone to everything we've done so far. It's really helpful.
How so?
Well, it puts coaching in a in a more a mo better perspective, instead of it being pressure on me, it's the conversation, and one of the things I'm going to have to work on, I've already said it earlier, is I'm going to have to really remember that it's not my job to fix it. And maybe that'll help take some of the pressure off too.
What would that feel
Well,
like, just in life, not to have to show up to fix it?
it does take the pressure off me. It's like the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. In ministry, we don't want to just lead them to water. We want to help them bend down and drink. How? And that's very hard. I think, at least as a minister, if I'm not really careful, it sets me up to be arrogant. If somebody doesn't do what I clearly told them, and they should clearly easily see, it allows them to be human and me to be human. I think it also leads to a space where grace and mercy and compassion are more prevalent.
How
Sorry, take the preacher out of me.
would you begin to use this conversation to practice confidence even in this coming Sunday? Even in this coming Sunday, like as you prepare, you're in the moment, you're present, you're disarming yourself from self-protecting. Like, right, how do you even use today to just transition your mindset around your current vocation?
It isn't about getting, it isn't necessarily about getting concrete, viewable, seeable results. But my preaching could be, almost a, not quite a coaching conversation, but more of a conversation where you're just kind of helping people see, and then not feeling less than if folks don't pick up what you're putting down right away. That's something I've had to work with before, because I get to study all week long, so the person in the pew doesn't. We've been all over the map, but it sure has been helpful.
See, help us to see. We have journeyed, per se, a few different places along the map today. From starting about taking your exam to practicing confidence to, even that profound shift that you had earlier of self-protecting. What are you taking from today? Like, how do you take from today, and like, what makes this conversation complete for you?
I can leave this conversation with the permission to not put as much pressure on myself to be human and to not make everything a performance and a performance grade. I guess another way to say it would be I've spent a lifetime of holding myself to certain standards that, and those standards may not be as helpful to me as I have thought.
What new standard or what new value are you seeking to live under?
Maybe cutting myself some slack and some grace and quit trying to live to a superhuman standard and just be who I am. You know, we as ministers, we decry being put on a pedestal, but most of us, from my perspective, climb up on that pedestal ourselves. Good stuff.
I know I asked you at the beginning, about 3 years from now, what would you summarize as this conversation, or you know, to somebody else? How would you begin to summarize this conversation to somebody else today?
Maybe it was the day that I decided I could be good enough. And that I deserve grace for myself as much as I want to give grace to others. Which there's some freedom there in grace.
Good word. Well, Les, thank you for risking, and thank you for being authentic in today's
Thank you for doing this.
conversation. My pleasure. Could I just maybe end this in a word,
Sure.
in our time together? Father, I'm thankful for Les and his devotion and pursuit of you, and to faithfully proclaim the word of grace and hope, of Jesus in and over so many people's lives. Father, and then the posture of self-protecting. So many times we don't even realize that we haven't put ourselves in a position to fully receive from you. So, Father, that's my prayer for Les, is that he can fully receive all the grace that's already been given to him, that he will rightly see himself as a son of you through his faith in Jesus Christ. And with that, there's a powerful thing to behold when we see ourselves the way that you already see us. So, Father, thank you for calling us your sons. And thank you for already equipping us with every tool that we could ever need or imagine to bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for this conversation and just how your spirit shows up to sharpen iron for one another. We love you, Father, and we pray all this in your name, power, and authority of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, friends, for being here today. My name is Lance Howard, business coach and leadership development for high-level faith-driven leaders. My goal is your flourishing, and my approach to developing executive leaders integrates the maximization of hope, gaining an outside perspective, devising practical strategies, and implementing measured discipline. This is all done with warm accountability aimed at achieving your desired outcomes. When you're making large financial decisions that impacts years of life, you need a trusted advisor to help guide you and to make a wise decision. What is executive business coaching? Effective coaching is pragmatic and outcome focused. It flows naturally according to your goals. It is conversational and rich with thought-provoking discussion. Pictured as a meaningful board meeting, an insightful chat with a close friend, a day of profound reflection, a session to recalibrate, and a stimulating brainstorming experience. It's both enjoyable and profound, tiring yet invigorating. Above all, it's having a trusted advisor right there beside you. My goal is your flourishing, to help you work less, earn more, and get back to what you love in life and in business. Now, when you're ready to have someone ride co-pilot with you on your leadership journey and business development, I would be honored to have a conversation with you to explore what it would look like for us to partner together for your flourishing. Peace and courage to you on your journey. I look forward to hearing from you soon.